Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God, because God will never stop loving me, because He is a covenant-keeping God. That's what Nehemiah was praying right here. God keeps His covenants to 1,000 generations, promises and covenants. He gives us, listen to this quickly, I'm moving. He gives us promises that leads us into a covenant.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Let's begin a new teaching series with Pastor Rogers. This series is taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Rebuild Part 1. A study in the book of Nehemiah. Let's get into the message today.
Without a vision, people cast off restraint. That's the literal translation. Vision usually begins in our lives as a matter of concern. Somebody gets concerned. Move with compassion. Write this down. Vision includes conviction, compassion, change. You better be ready for it. I know people that said, you know what? I don't want to change. Well, guess what? We're all changing. Church is not going to look like what it used to. It's going to be different no matter what. There'll be some things that we'll do, that we'll sing and we'll pray and we'll preach and all that kind of thing, but other things are going to change. You need to get ready for change. Not only that, but there needs to be a willingness in your heart that drives you with urgency to do something about it. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the things that pastors are thinking about, and I'm thinking about it too, is all these days, all these Sundays, all these services that have been going on where people have been sitting in their pajamas at home, eating Cheerios. Come on, somebody. Eating some pork chops, all that kind of stuff. They've told me they have. And they're just watching it online. And some of them, they've been watching 3 and 4 services online. They're watching a little here, a little there, a little over here, all that kind of stuff. And pastors are thinking right now, is anybody going to show back up when we roll the doors open? And if they do, how many of them are going to be faithful to come back to this church? How many of them may have made decisions to go to other places? This is what I'm talking about. Urgency and change. God is preparing. Listen, God always prepares you now for what is happening later. So we can't wait till we throw the doors open to get the building where it needs to be. That's the reason why I need volunteers. He's preparing us now for what's going to come. What's going to come, Pastor? As sure as I read the book of Nehemiah, there was a revival that took place in the hearts and lives of people. And I can assure you that revival is on the way. It may not look anything like we've seen before, but I can tell you, as sure as that Bible is true, it's going to come. God is preparing us now for what's going to happen later. Here's what's going to happen. There are going to be people that have been drawing nearer to God. They haven't been socially distant from God. And then there are those that are out there doing whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. And I'm talking about church people. There are pagans out there that have found out, you know what, God must be real. I better get my life right, because they have logged on right here and gotten saved over the past several weeks. And they've already told us, you know what, when the doors swing open, I'm going to be on those pews worshiping God. You know why that's happening? Because God is flipping this thing totally upside down. And the people that should be in the house of God are thinking about, how can I get to Disney World? And the people that are connected to God are saying, God has done something in our land. We better get back to God's house. We better build God's house. We better build the kingdom, and we better do it with urgency. We better do that right now. Come on now. The closer you get, the clearer things become. The other morning, I was walking in here, and there was no lights on in the building, and I was trying to get to an office up here on this side. I came walking right across this platform in the dark, and I was on my way, boy. I mean, there wasn't no grass growing underneath my feet. And I got right over here, and this monitor speaker in the dark, all of a sudden I hit that thing going 40 miles an hour and went right over the top of it. I busted my shin right here. I've had to doctor myself and all that kind of stuff. I fell right over on the ground over there. Why? Because things were in the dark. And we've been in the dark for so long, we've gotten used to the dark. But God has now said, I've stopped everything and I've turned the light on in here. And it's time for you to get your heart right with God and get closer, because the closer you get to something, the clearer it becomes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more willing you are to adjust to change. You let one of your family members contract this virus, and I guarantee you people that have never prayed before will pray then. Pastor, that's a little bit hard. I'm just telling you the fact. But it doesn't make any difference whether it's the virus or cancer or family problems. But listen, nobody's problems have stopped in the middle of this. You've got to be willing to say, God, you're trying to get our attention, and I'm ready to change no matter what it looks like. Are you willing to do that? Hey, let me ask you a very practical question for all of you Paysites out there. When you come back in here, I just want to let you know, because we're working on what that's going to look like. I don't know. We might wind up having 6 feet between the chairs. But hear what I'm telling you. You're probably not going to be able to sit in the same location you sat when this thing stopped. Are you willing to change your seat? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you willing to move from your seat? Pastor, I just can't worship without sitting in the seat that I used to sit in. You better get used to change, baby. I'm just telling you, that's how much change is going on. Well, I don't like the change. Sure you do. You changed meals today. Come on, some of you changed your hair color. Come on now. Listen, get this, it's on your paper. Vision calls for courage in the face of adversity to pursue the call of God. Let me tell you what it's going to take for all of you that are watching. Whether you go to this church or another one, listen to me. You're going to have the courage of God Almighty in the face of a plague to walk back into a sanctuary where so many people are going to be wearing masks. Don't dog them out. Hey, some folks may not be wearing masks. Don't dog them out either. Well, what am I supposed to do? You got your hand sanitizer. If you want to wear a mask, wear your mask. Don't be breathing on people. Use some common sense. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to need over the hand sanitizer, over the mask and everything else. You're going to have courage to say, God, I'm going back to church come hell and high water. I wish I had some thumbs up out there. Compassion doesn't always mean immediate action. That's the reason why Nehemiah prayed first. So for all of you out there, here's the pattern of God. You see what's going on. You're anxious about it. You're stir crazy at home. You've gone to Home Depot so many times, you don't know what else to buy. Every plant has been planted. The house has been pressure washed twice. All of that kind of stuff. You're ready to do something different. Listen to me. This is a time for you right now to pray and to fast and prepare yourself for the greatest days of evangelism the church has ever seen in this lifetime. Write it down. He was not only a man who was full of character and full of compassion, but get this, he was a man of prayer. Now, if we don't do anything else, you better hear the words of Jesus. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. What is that all about? Nehemiah knew this principle, my friends. If you don't know how to pray, listen, God's not waiting for you to say some these and thous. I promise you, when you get in real trouble, you'll pray like Peter did when he was sinking. Help! Help me! You call out on the Lord, and you stay in that place of prayer and in that mindset, because Nehemiah is teaching us a leadership lesson that the first thing we do before we get back together is get into a mode of fasting and prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you what prayer is going to do. First of all, prayer is dependence on God's ability to work in us and through us. When you pray, You realize, I can't do this without God. I say that every time I walk out here on this platform and grab this microphone. Prayer is the process of preparation for maturing the vision inside of us. God, I don't know what to do. Let me tell you how many times I've said that over the past 60, 90 days. I had no idea. God brought it back to my mind. Earlier part of this year, I was talking with some of our leadership here, and I was telling them, this is before that we ever went into this coronavirus. Nobody really knew anything about it. We're getting these little words in January, and I was telling a group of people, hey, we need to change some things right here in this ministry for Vision 2020 so that we can do this thing over here, because this is going to be very effective on live stream if you'll do this right here. Little did I know what I was even saying. Because now we are completely dependent upon this. You know what does that? Prayer helps you to have vision in the process of preparing for something that you don't even know what you're praying for or even preparing for. The timing of God is perfect. That's the reason why we're not going to do it 1 second before he says and not 1 second after he says. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, this is his prayer. I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Listen to how he started out. First of all, he starts out acknowledging God and praising his greatness. I want you to get, listen to me, church, Pace. I'm talking to Paceites here right now. I know I got a lot of other viewers out there, but if you're going to your church, listen to me. This is what your pastors are going to want. This is what God wants out of your life now, and this is what he's going to want the days that the doors swing open. Because as it is said right now, based upon what I'm hearing, is some perhaps you can get 25% of your total capacity inside the sanctuary for a service. I don't know that that might mean 4 or 5 services for me. I have no idea. I know some of you may not think I can do that, but I can tell you Sunday can happen all day long. All right? So get this right here. When you open the doors and you start walking in the building, don't let your pastors have to teach you how to pray now. Don't let the pastor have to teach you how to praise again. You should walk through the gates of with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Don't wait till you get here to praise his greatness. Nehemiah is teaching us a lesson about how we're to enter into the city. Look at this. Nehemiah uses God's name Yahweh to acknowledge him. And the word Yahweh there is a representation of the fact that God always keeps his promises. So when he said, O Lord God of heaven, Yahweh of heaven. Now what's the point of this? Humanly, it is an impossible plan to think of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Hey, humanly, it is impossible right now. We don't have a vaccine. We don't even know how to start church back up. Listen, I told somebody the other day, it's much easier to shut it down than it is to reopen it. Reopening now looks totally different. Humanly, it's impossible. But God, that's what he was acknowledging. Nehemiah was acknowledging God, saying, God, you're the one true living God who keeps your promises. So when he said that, he's saying, God, you're not a human that is limited in your capacity. Nehemiah acknowledged God and his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his greatness. He glorified his greatness in the middle of the situation. You need to start now in your prayer life glorifying his greatness before you ever darken the doors of this church. Secondly, in his prayers in verse number 5, he reminds God of his covenant. Now listen carefully to me quickly. I'm hurrying to this end. He says, God, you're the God who keeps your covenant. Now, we know God keeps his promises, but covenants are a whole nother thing. Why did Nehemiah remind God of his covenant? Because, first of all, it pleases God when you remind him of his covenant. Whenever I just say out of my mouth the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm speaking of covenant. There was a Noah's covenant. There was Abraham's covenant. There is in the scripture the blood covenant. Listen, he doesn't say the blood promise. He says the blood covenant. A covenant is different than a contract. A contract, one or the other of us can stop that contract and it's over with. But a covenant can never be stopped. When you go into a marriage covenant, No, you can say you stop loving me, but the bottom line is the covenant stands. When Jesus said, I'm going and I'm going to do a blood covenant on the cross and die for your sins, I want you to know, no matter if you hate me, if you're an atheist, whatever you may be, Jesus said, I will never take my covenant of love away from you. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing can separate me from the love of God, because God will never stop loving me, because he is a covenant-keeping God. That's what Nehemiah was praying right here. God keeps his covenants to 1,000 generations, promises and covenants. He gives us, listen to this quickly, I'm moving. He gives us promises that leads us into a covenant.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.